If the only thing your father has to say that this man is from this area and this woman is from this area, but you have learned and have become convinced, please, I hope you have heard what I'm saying, that, listen, if any man or woman be in Christ, the person is a new creature, all things are passed away, I am sorry, you can never agree with your father. It's not allowed. What it will beget for you is persecution. What will result from it is persecution. They will say to you, in this village, nobody marries from that village. You say, that was then. This is now. If any man is in Christ, let me say something to you. That is where your witness of Christianity begins. Pastor Patrick, what do you expect me to do? I don't know. I'm not even giving you an answer. Now, sometimes people write me, please, I want your advice. Somebody wrote us the other day, said, please, before you refer us to your messages, we want your advice. Listen, think about it for a moment. Unfortunately, I don't have time, really. It's a basic rule. Like, I don't directly respond to each mail. All right. The reason is that I can't counsel people who are far. Unless if you come to the office and we can talk, I can ask you questions, I'll pray with you, and I'll talk with you, all right? But you send a mail, no matter how serious the matter is, I just can't directly respond, all right? I will get to read the mail, but the response you are going to get is just our general response. We'll pray for you, definitely we will. But the person said that I should give, before I refer to messages. Sorry, my messages, they are my advice. Anything that you hear me preach, I believe it. If I was talking to only you, that's exactly what I would say also. All right? The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Now, what would somebody in that situation do directly? I don't know. But one thing I'm sure of is what you will not do. You will never. You are not allowed to budge. If that is the only argument, if they say, I don't like that guy, he doesn't agree with my soul, it's fine. I think you should listen to your father. I'm not saying you should listen to you and just say, okay, it can be a word of God. Are you getting my point? Maybe God is seeing something you are not seeing. That lady, the way they do like this, it disturbs something in my spirit. Go and pray. Maybe. But if he says that it is because of where she's from, it is not God. What did I say? What did I say? It cannot be God. It's not possible for it to be God. Because you are dealing with believers here. You're not dealing with unbelievers. Among some believers, the dichotomy is there. Is that the dichotomy? The polycotomy. You can break them to 1,000 units. These are the descendants of Esau. These are the descendants of Jacob. Among them, they are descendants of subdivisions. It's good. But in Christianity, there is nothing like that. If they bring you only one argument, where is it from? You want to marry a woman from this area. You don't know how they are. And the whole family disagrees. In fact, to me, if you're a man, your problem is even easier. Let them all disagree. I like when I told one of my aunties once. He said, you want to marry? I said, yes. Where is she from? She's from Delta State. I don't agree. I said, auntie, you should learn to distinguish between when your opinion is being asked and when they are giving you information. My wife used to think that I was a very crazy person. This was my auntie. I'm like, what's your problem? And not even my father. And not even my mother. I said, auntie, she came with my mother that day to Lagos. So I brought this, my wife of today, brought her pictures and all of that. She was looking, she looked. Where is she from? Delta. Said, that one, no, we are not agreeing. No. We will not agree. You will not agree. I said, auntie, you must understand when I'm asking your opinion. When I'm giving you information. This one is information. Now, really. Now, why did I say that? You know, Paul said something here. He said, you followed my teaching. The teachings resulted in persecutions. That's how I live my life, out of the things I have learned. That resulted in persecution. And listen, he said, you notice something, that God delivered me from them all. Let me tell you something. From every one of your persecutions that arise as a result of the word of God, you'll be delivered.
Amen.
from every single one of those persecutions that arise as a result of that difference in teachings, where you are not in agreement with everybody. But it's not because you are contentious, but simply because you have learned the word and you have become convinced of them. From all those persecutions, God will deliver you.
Amen.
He said to Timothy simply, he said, despite this persecution that I'm talking about, you continue in the things you have learned. Listen, before anybody changes your mind, let them convince you otherwise first. Did you hear what I said? There is nothing like this how I feel. I just don't like it. It doesn't agree with my spirit. Your spirit and my spirit are two different spirits. And I'm going to be the Lord of my house. Not your spirit will not be the Lord of my house. So give me arguments to overturn the things. And not because I want to doubt what I know, but there's always room to learn. So do you have superior knowledge? Do you have superior understanding to give me that I may abide by it? If you don't have, I'm sorry. I will be stubborn. Some people tell me, you're just being stubborn. I say, what do you mean being stubborn? You have not presented any argument. A stubborn man, a stubborn woman in reality, is a person who you have presented sound, obvious arguments that contradicts what he or she is holding on to, yet refuses to change her mind. That's an obstinate person. That's a stubborn person. That is somebody that will soon be destroyed. But it is not nice for you to be tossed to and fro by every wind of somebody disagrees with me. You are my witnesses here. There are many things I teach that's not popular in Christianity. I say one thing to you. I have never seen one person. No, I'm not trying to be, difficult. I've not seen one person that took a scripture and went to at those things I've said and just broke them down from the word and said, no, you misunderstood this. There's one scripture you overlooked. Let's tie this one to it. No, all I ever hear is that this is not church tradition. The church can, everybody cannot be wrong, and you're the only one that's right. That's kind of stupid argument I hear. Have people tell me, are you trying to tell me this person is wrong? Are you trying to tell me this person? Is that how adults are supposed to discuss? Are you trying to tell me that this man does not know what you're saying? Are you telling me now that the other person is wrong? Are you telling me that with all the results this man has, are you telling me, when I hear something, when I wrote my book, Grace to Prosper, in that last segment, because I knew the matter is such a contentious matter in Christianity, I wrote that chapter 3 times. What we finally found is the third chapter, the third writing. I believe it was the Holy Spirit finally gave me wisdom. I did it in a question and answer way. I ask a question, I present my answer. I bring up another question, I present another answer. The only people that disagree with me, they want, no, our church says like this, this man of God says this, this man of God says this. If the man of God says something, all right, in fact, the other day I was in the office, a colleague of mine, there's something we have always, because of the job we do, we are physicians, we are pathologists, there's a way we do our work. We look at things, all right, they make slides of disease tissues and we're supposed to make diagnosis. So sometimes somebody will say it is A, another person will say it is B. So there's an argument we have always had, this guy and me. He now read it up in the book a few days ago, written out to me. I said, this is what we have always said. They said that, listen, no matter how you feel about a diagnosis, if you cannot marshal out point by point how you came to that diagnosis, you are wrong. That is, you look at it and you feel like, I think this is kind of disease. And your colleague says, you think so? Explain to me how. You should be able to sit on maybe a microscope that has 2 heads. Look at this. Look at this. Write it down. Look at this. Tie it together. Open a few references and say, this is how I came to that conclusion. Said, if you can't, then most likely you are wrong. And the same thing when it comes to the word of God. Our reference is the Bible. Our reference is these scriptures. If you think you are right, bring it out. Nobody knows everything. Sit down with people and throw scriptures up. And not in an argumentative manner now, but in an attitude that you want to learn. Unless somebody does that to you, please, don't throw away that which you know already. Do you get the point I'm making? Don't throw it away. Paul said to Timothy, the things you have learned, No matter, now listen to this, the things you know, they bring persecution. That's the point I'm making. You are going to get to a place, everybody will be on one side, you'll be on the other side. My wife told a story once. No, one man was preaching. He said anytime he's traveling on the road and his car has a problem, he will stop the car and say, who did not tie it in this car? Was that the way it happened? Who did not tie it in this car? That one day he was driving to Abuja, he's Abuja from somewhere, and their car, their tire went down. He stopped the car and said, who did not tie it in this car? He found out there was a driver, he sacked him on the spot. To that driver, that's persecution. The man said the only reason his car can have a problem is not whether he has adulterous thoughts in his mind. No. If his driver is an adulterer, it doesn't matter. Once he tithes. Because if I were the one, say, who is the adulterer in this car? Who is the government thief here? Who inflated the contract? They are the ones that will spoil car for me. That's what, now you won't spoil my car. You're going to enter your own car to spoil by yourself. The Lord is good. That's just side gist to make you laugh. All right? Now, there are things that we bring real persecutions like that. A friend of mine called me the other day. In their church, they told her that she needed to lead prayer in a particular way. Some of the things that I don't believe in, she does not believe in. That they said that after you pray for a while, a time comes in which you now start groaning. Whether something is paining you or not, doesn't matter. After you prayed in understanding, you prayed other tongues, then you pray in groaning. That's why we say groan. So now say, when you get to the point, everybody say, they will groan. Now there was not a problem. She had a difference of opinion, not a big deal. Everybody, she just, when anybody's groaning, she'll be praying her own. And I said, now you are going to lead prayer and you shall lead groaning. And I said, wait. This handshake is going beyond the elbow. That's why she called me and said, what should I do? I said simply, anything you don't believe in, you can't do. In fact, you'll be in trouble with God faster. So you find out, all right, that when you have learned something, especially when it is different from what everybody believes around, it will lead to persecution. And you'll be amazed at the kind of persecution I'm talking about. You are going to be at home one day. They're going to wake everybody up. At 2 a.m., time to start modulating the activities of the evil spirits. Everybody wake up, begin to pray. And you're like, what? So what I was praying about, I said, evil spirits are moving. Time to check them. He said, as far as I know, 2 a.m. is time to sleep. I am going to sleep. They are going to start saying, you are a manifestation of evil presence in that house. You are not going to, because of that, wake up at 2 a.m. now and start saying, oh yeah, all you evil spirits, stop. You won't do that. If you must stand, if it's a place where you're a young person, everybody, you can't sleep when all adults, they have power over you. Okay, you wake up. Father, I thank you. You are good. You are great. Hallelujah. God is good. Hallelujah. Say after me, all you evil spirits. They are not going to repeat that one. Then you will see what they call persecution. I have seen young people suffer because their father said, this is the way to pray. I said, I'm sorry. I can't pray like that. I won't pay your fees. I'm still not going to pray like that. Are you being stubborn? No. These are things I have learned and have become convinced of. These are things I have learned. Listen, persecution is in Christianity. It's available. Did you hear what I said? Persecution is what? Available. Persecution is available. The reason why you would not ever have any trouble is because you always change your direction when people disagree with you. You have nothing, you have learned, and you are convinced of. If there are things you have learned and you are convinced of, they will fire you one day. Yeah, no, you will lose a job one day. Sometimes your boss is a Christian. He does not just understand your kind of Christianity. He just doesn't understand it. And not because you are evil. It's just because when they said everybody contribute money for deliverance, you said no. My money will not go there because I've been delivered in Christ Jesus. I have money for offerings. I have money to give to the poor. I have money to do many things, but it does not include money for contribution for deliverance. I don't need it. And there, of course, you know such evil prophets who I have already cursed in the name of the Lord. You know now. They will find out you are one of the problems in that company. I hope you know that. Get ready for it. Once you don't put that money down for deliverance, you are they will come and say, sir, as we're praying, we began to see that there was one person, that the number of people in this office that did not agree for this deliverance. Your guy said, yes, that day. Felix was refusing to bring out his money. That's it. You have to cast out the bondwoman and her son. You'll start convulsing. Don't be worried. What did I say? Don't be worried. They sack you, leave the job with gladness of heart. You will suffer seriously if you, because of that, start contributing money for deliverance. Because you have departed from the things that you learned and were convinced of. I said to you, persecution is available. It is what? Available. It is what? Available. It is what? Available. If you are wondering, why have I not been persecuted? In fact, you will soon be persecuted. You are waiting to be beheaded. Nobody is going to behead you. It's it takes a long time before beheading starts. I wrote an article. Did I finish writing it? I started, I'm not sure I finished it. Titled, The New Face of Persecution. You go to the United States now. There's a new phase of persecution. If you are a caterer and you refuse to do catering for a gay marriage, they sue you. Yes. It's not a joke. One man, I don't know, I didn't see the outcome of the court case. Usually such things, if the man wins the case, you will never hear about it. He's a florist. Decorate events, flowers. All right? So one guy ordered once flowers for a marriage of Adam and Steve. And he said to himself and to them, for this cause he that made them male and female. He said, I'm sorry, I do not recognize gay marriages, and therefore it is against my religious beliefs to send flowers to a gay marriage. I read about it because he was in court. He was being sued for discrimination. I like ACLJ. They have this group called ACLJ, led by one guy, Sekulo. They will be there. They are Christians. They will support him seriously. That's persecution. And it's not a joke. If they win that case, he could be wiped out in business. And his own argument is that, number one, it's against my religious beliefs. Number two, they have alternatives. So this is persecution targeted at me as a Christian for this case to even come up. Because if it was just about you need something, you can't get it, doesn't fly. Because there are many other florists in New Jersey. So I call it a new phase of persecution. It's all over the place in those countries. There are pastors that can't read certain scriptures. It's Bible, Romans chapter 1. They can't read it. Because it's called gay bashing. Because you say that you call homosexuality abomination. It's Bible. So that's why my persecution. So this is, it's not a joke. They made it illegal in California to counsel a young man who says he's homosexual that you don't have to be. The churches gathered and dragged that one to court again, said, lie. We don't agree. That if a young boy of 15 says I'm gay, then you're not allowed to give him counsel. That you are warping his mind. You should affirm his homosexuality. Say, yes, God made you gay. What's the name of that? Charles Darwin made you gay. You were born gay. But of course, churches don't do that. So they have to cut around the law a bit to exclude churches. But they were targeted at Christians because they used to do deliverance and prayer. Are you getting my point? Yes, they used to counsel people against this work of darkness. But they now began to persecute them. That's what I'm trying to say. Persecution is available. Plenty. All over the place. But what's my message? In the midst of everything, Paul was warning Timothy. He said, in the midst of everything, what you have learned and have become convinced of, Even though it brings you persecution, continue in that thing. It loses you a job, please continue in it. It gets you fired, continue in it. Your father said he will never consent to that marriage, continue in it. Because, you see, and let me tell you something, as Christians, one of the ways to help yourself in life, let your stand be known early. What did I say?
Let your stand be known
early. Let it be known early. You are not planning to marry now. You have not proposed to any woman. In fact, you can't even pronounce the word propose yet. When you get home, they are in the village, they are talking, it's Christmas time, everybody say, don't mind us from that village. No, we will never agree for any of our sons to go there. You say, excuse me. I don't know anybody there. I just want people to know ahead of time. If the person is a Christian, we can go there. We Christians, they're crazy. So what do you mean? Say, listen, this is how it is. In Christianity, we are forbidden. Our God forbids us from dividing this person from that person based on tribal or village. He says, don't mind. What is wrong? Keep quiet there. Then keep quiet. It's okay. You don't want to marry yet. Then one day, you are in your uncle's house. They are discussing. What's happening? It's your cousin that wants to marry. He said, don't mind them. They want to bring me a girl from this particular area. I am never going to accept that kind of marriage. Say, uncle, what's happening? He said, I'm happy, Uche, you have come. Talk to your sister for me. He says, talk to your brother. The boy, he says he wants to marry. The girl is from so-and-so place. Say, uncle, that's serious. But wait, uncle, are they Christians? Did they ever say they are born again? Say, yes, I heard him something like that. I say, uncle, I beg. Just forget that one. Just allow. You know I'm your favorite nephew. I have come to counsel you, allow them. Say, why? Then bring that scripture again. Let them know. He said, in fact, uncle, you are not even happy from here. What if you had gone all the way to Maiduguri? Uncle, but I rejoice. So you know the way God does such things. Next time, now Maiduguri, and you will go in the midst of Boko Haram for that wedding. What are you doing? You are letting them know your stance now. Let them know. This is how it is with us in Christianity. We don't discriminate. They hope that they let them give you a name first. So the day you now show up, and it happens that the Lord arranged for you to be persecuted. In fact, you will have been delivered from that. They will just know that him. They will count all the instances in which you have opened out your mouth. You don't have to talk again. That is one way. Let them know early. I've told you, if you are somewhere, you are in class, everybody say, let's contribute money for so and so. Shout, say, if I contribute money for it, I will die and go to hell. So what do you mean? In our church, we were taught, say it loud. Let everybody know what you don't believe in. Don't be telling anybody it's not good. Are you getting my point? I hear somebody, it's not good though. What is not good? Everything is good. Just as some of the good things send you to hellfire. You understand what I'm saying? If you say it's not good, they will be arguing with you that it is good. Say it is good, though I agree with you, but there are some good things that will send me to hellfire. When you say it like that, most human beings will give you space. Are you joining us for this? What? Deliverance? Pastor Banky said, after the deliverance, my problems will double. Trust me, they will leave you alone. It's when you start hiding and dodging that your problems are worse. Let me sit on my message so I can conclude it, all right? We'll close on time. This is what I want to say. Truth that you know. Actually, no, what I wanted to start with, all right, is let me just quickly drop that one in now, all right? Now, I reasoned before that people know truth. People come to Bible study like this. They go to churches on Sundays. They buy books. They listen to tapes. They download messages. But which one really is the one that is setting them free? That's what I wanted to explain at the beginning, but I've gotten to it now, and I think I'll be able to say that in the next few minutes, and then we'll close. Which one is really setting them free in all of these things? It's simple. It's only the one that affects their decisions. You hear what I said? You can have many things in your ears, fill your ears, fill your head. Has it entered into your spirit? Is it setting you free or is not setting you free? is simple. How has it affected your decision-making process? If it hasn't, it's not working in you yet. Because truth will always be tested. It will always be tested. It will always be tested. Before the days of the test, be hearing it. Abraham, God will speak to him, hear it. Your wife will beget a child, she finally begat the child. Then one day, all the truths you've heard in the last 40 years is tested. Go and sacrifice Isaac. Listen, it is good to hear the word of God. Without the training in righteousness, you will fail the test. But that word has not entered you in real power until it starts affecting how you make decisions. Are you getting my point? Listen. Listen. If you make a decision that contradicts everything you have learned, it's as good as if you never learned them. As I'm speaking, you may be remembering some things. What you do is that you go back to that point in your mind. You go and pray, ask God for forgiveness, and start again. He will send another test too. Usually more difficult than that first one that you failed. Because that first one you failed has become part of the training. So you should be ready for a heavier one. I thought about it. That's the problem in Christianity today. I mean, the other day, I think it was Inka that was telling me the story of a man did a job, a government contract. Assuming he made ₦1 million from that job, the person who signed the contract papers collected $750,000. Is that news? What is news is that he was a deeper life woman. Are you getting what I'm saying? With scarf tied, this world is not my home scarf. No jewelry, nothing. Long skirt reaching to the floor. The blouse reaching high. Actually, you see the skin of my neck reaching high like this. Collected the money. As I keep on telling you that this church going na social activity. I'm telling you. The woman that is, you sit under WF Kumuyi, you are still collecting bribe. You will go to hell, though. That one will really go to hell. Well, I don't know, but you know what I'm trying to say? With all the threat of hell, in fact, you are not a Christian. You're supposed to fear. How can you go to a deeper life? I mean, if you're going to some of these, church, I will understand. You go to a deeper life. You see, collect bribe. That means that word never entered. It never did. It never did. That's what I'm trying to explain. The word that's actually setting us free is the one that's affecting the decisions we are making. Because there's something that Paul said. Listen to this. Back to that 2 Timothy chapter 3. He said, you know of my persecutions. From verse 11. My persecution and sufferings, it happened in Antioch, Iconium, Lystra. He said, I endured the persecutions. And out of them all, the Lord rescued me. Indeed, all who desire to adhere to the word of God, I'm modifying it now, to stick their lives with the things they have learned and have become convinced of. All those who desire to live godly lives in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. He now said that, verse 14, you, however, continue in those things. And verse 15, you know that from childhood you have known the holy scriptures or sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. What is that wisdom that leads to salvation? Paul said that I was delivered from all my persecutions. The word deliverance is the same word salvation. Are you getting my point? What was he saying? God will give you a wisdom that will deliver you from your persecutions. God will give you a wisdom. You were sacked the first job because you did not contribute money for deliverance. No problem. The next one, they said, adjust the figures so that we'll pay less taxes. You refused. The next one, you went there and, they said, what's your problem, self? He said, it is because those who desire to live righteously will suffer persecution. As long as you can narrate what happened with a clean heart, open nothing hiding to people of faith, and they can see the point. My boss said, I should sign that we collected 2 million. Those will give us only 1 million. I'm not signing. So he fired me. That's good firing. Paul said, in the midst of this firing, God will soon give you an idea. You become a boss yourself, and nobody can fire you. Are you seeing my point? That is, when that word first leads you to persecution, the next thing it does is to give you a wisdom that produces salvation. Listen, it is how you react in the time of testing that decides whether that word is really setting you free or it is not setting you free. Listen, if everybody tells you, in our village they don't marry from this area, and you join them, let me just give you a quick warning. As Christians, life can hard when we disobey God. What did I say? Life can be hard if we walk in disobedience. What will happen to you is that, listen, I don't mean to sound like I'm wicked, but okay, that's why I'll qualify it. Unless you repent. Amen? Yeah. Everybody says, in our village, we don't marry from that area. And then for that reason, you also deep inside your heart, because what people are thinking is different from what they are saying a lot of times. When their church is amen, amen, amen. Oh, when they say, oh, that sister is so nice. She's a good lady. Where is she from? That, oh, they will shake her hands very well. Give her a big hug. If she needs money, they help her out. Even give her a lift home. They have a car. But married, when they go home, that one are no good area. You will never guess when you see on the surface. Because he's so nice to her. She wants to, in fact, he's working at Transekulu. She's in Independence Layout. Then she calls and says, Brother John, how now? I'm fine, please, I have to get to church and it's raining. Oh, no problem. He will come from Transekulu, drive all the way to Independence Layout, carry her to the church in Abapa. And then go back to work. You would think that this guy is redeemed. But when he's talking, he said, bros, church is a different matter. When we reach home, the truth is that one are no good area. Yeah, people behave like that. That's what the Bible says. He says to you, eat, drink, but his heart is not with you. As a man thinks in his heart, that is what really he is like. So is he. Such a man, you know what happened? What will happen is that with all the 700 million women in China, he won't find one wife there. He will go to India that has half a billion women, there will be no wife. Come to Nigeria, 70 million women, none. You know why? Because God will just close all the doors. It's called disobedience. What did I call it? Or finally, he gets one from the area where their people love the most. And to be a Jezebel that just came to church to worship. With her hands and with her face, her heart is in a coven. When he gets home, there's one brother, I heard the story. This man said all his life was a good man until he entered the church there and married a girl there. I know what happened to him. He began to smoke and drink. For the kind of harassment of soul that girl gave to him. Finally, he impregnated a girl working in a bar. Did you hear what I said? That was how low his life went. I suspect that they told him, don't marry from this village, you go marry from the other village. God said, okay, no wahala, you want Jezebel. The Jezebel I'll give you will not use fake lashes. She won't use lipstick. You want to come, holy are you, Lord? Oh, Christ. Tell your neighbor, is the fruit of disobedience. Tell the person, is the fruit of disobedience. Listen, truth must affect your decisions. That's the point I'm making. Even though it turns you, in fact, I feel so strong about it. Maybe if people came with this matter in their hearts today, even though it turns you against the whole village, truth must affect your decisions. You will be in your family, you have a brother. You have brothers, you have sisters, you have parents. Total, 9 people. There will be 8 people against you. Just make sure it is because of that which you have learned and you have become convinced of. Listen, if you listen to them, it's another warning from God. If you listen to them, in 30 years' time, you will look back and regret it. Listen, listening to people who disagree with God gives you temporary relief. What did I say to you? Temporary relief. If you listen to people that disagree with God, you will get temporary relief. The time you will look back and regret it, my God. When the Bible says it is a difficult thing to fall into the hands of the living God, he was writing to Christians, so not to Muslims. None of the people who received that letter was in Boko Haram. They were all Christians. And he said to them, it is a difficult thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He said, for the Lord our God is a consuming fire. God is merciful, believe me. He is merciful. But one thing he can't stand is direct disobedience to his instructions. Don't forget where we began from the things we have heard and what have become convinced of. If there are things we're in doubt about, God no understands. But when the family of 8 people in it stand against only you, but you are with the things you had learned and have become convinced of, please, please, don't go for temporary relief because you want to please people. It does not work. It only begets for you more hardship later in life. That's what it begets. That's what it begets. Remember, your life is planned. Amen. Listen to me. If you stand your ground with the word of God, there will be persecution for a while, guaranteed. That marriage may be delayed for up to 3 years. Trust me, it can happen. But this interesting part, that is the only way you will win unbelievers. A time will come, everybody that is agreeing with you now, they will gather with you and worship God. That you are the only one that showed them light. You are the only one that taught them truth. What will happen eventually is that you will enjoy the deliverance of God. And you'll be established in righteousness all your life. Listen, there are reasons why God blesses people. We'll be talking about the work of Christ. And that's the basic reason. Then he throws that word into you. Is it going to work in your life or it will not work? It depends on how you allow that word walk into your heart so that it works out and begins to affect what you do, what you don't do, where you go, where you don't go, how you talk, how you don't talk, who you relate with, who you don't relate with, how you relate with people, how you make your decisions. That's what brings that work of Christ outwardly in your life. I hope you've gotten my point. What I said there, I hope it's clear. If it's clear, say amen.
Amen.
I hope I didn't scare anybody. I was sent by God to come and help you. And I trust that this word has helped you today. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Let's bow down our heads and just give the Lord thanks.